Oxygen. Oxygen. Well, good morning. A little bit of Rocky for you. I'm enjoying that. Maybe I'll start every service like that. Well, we are continuing. A number of weeks ago, I talked about a believing faith, about a time where we take a hold of God, where God becomes real. I remember back about 8-9 years ago, we were doing the Alpha course. We were radical. We'd break in to places of work. We were talking about that earlier. There was a Primerica office in Belleville, and we did the Alpha course. By the way, the Alpha course is coming in about 6 weeks. You don't want to invite somebody. You want to invite somebody. You definitely, you do want to invite somebody. Anyway, it was about week 6, and we were going through the videos, and all of a sudden, one of the sales agents just stopped. He says, "Oh my goodness." He says, "I believe." At that definitive moment, it became real to him. The God factor became real. Before that, it was ethereal. Before that, it was head. You know, they talk about it head before it's heart. At that moment, it became real. And then as you come to God, then that next level is not just believing in God, but believing in God for. Believing in God for miracles. Believing in God that he can use you. Believing in God for incredible things, the next level. Today I want to talk about another level where we beat up people. Amen? It's that fight in our lives. It's that fight that we have. And it's a vastly different fight than the world has. This one, that next level in God, is maybe not as showy, maybe not as dramatic. But make no mistakes, it's as powerful as it can be. And anytime you do something for God, you're helping people. We want to help people. We want to fight for people. And that's where we're talking over the next number of weeks. We want to fight for people. It requires a very humble, meek posture. Maybe that's why it's not understood that well. Maybe that's why people don't gravitate to it as much. But that's what Jesus wants. That's where he wants to take us. God doesn't want to just work in us. He wants to work through us. Somebody say amen. He doesn't want to just work in us. Oh yeah, he does want to do that work in us. But he wants to do more. He wants to work through us. And this beautiful church, these people, look at you. Look at yourself. Look around this room. This is the people that God is using. This are the people. God is in us, and he's using us. And he's going to use us over these weeks and over these months to see lives changed. Get a hold of that today. Fighting for people. Now, why the theme today about fighting a faith, a fighting faith? Why? I entitle this A Fighting Faith because the Bible is replete with fighting, war, and battle metaphors. Paul used them all the time. He used the illustration constantly, and know full well, church, know full well, we're in a battle. It's tough. It's a struggle. You know, we got a little taste from heaven today. Wasn't worship just fantastic? Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, obedient. Thank you, team, for being obedient. Being blessed, being fortified, being enriched today. Wow. Wow. Because we need to be fortified by God. Paul used the illustration of fighting all the time. He said, finally, as he speaks to the Ephesian church, and we know this full well, it's the armor of God passage, and he said, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And he has schemes, mark my words. And here it is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, authorities, against this dark world, against the spiritual forces that oftentimes we can't see. It's the evil in the heavenly realm. That's what we're fighting today. Again, more metaphors about fighting. Endure hardship with us like good soldiers, Paul went on to say, and he told that to Timothy. I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I did it. At the end of his life, he said, you know what? I was obedient. I hung in there. I did it till the very end. And again, encouraging words, he also said, I do not run like someone aimless. There's purpose to this thing. Again, he uses the metaphor, I fight like a boxer, but not a boxer just shadow boxing or beating the air, but there's purpose. And then our theme text today, the last one, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and that's what we're looking at today. He said, though we live in the world, again, there's that metaphor of war. We do not wage war as the world does. See, the weapons we fight with, they're not weapons like the world. Very different than the world. He goes on to say, but on the contrary, they have divine power. See, the world doesn't have divine power. The world's fighting is without power. But if you have taken a hold of God today, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. What are those words? What are those things, they're lofty ideas, they're lofty thoughts, they're pride and arrogant words against our God. They're from the spirit of the world. The author of lies. That's who we fight today, the author of lies, the enemy. The enemy wants to feed into people's hearts and minds all day, every day. You don't need God. God, what do you need God for? God's useless. God just wants to. God hates you. Lies from the enemy. You don't need God. You don't need God because you are God. You have power. You don't need God. You are God. Lies. Trust me today. There is a God. You're not him, and you need him. Somebody say amen. You need God. And he's there. He's loving. Have we not witnessed his love today? His showers of mercy, his showers of beautiful peace and joy just started to land. The mist of his beauty just landed on this room. That's our God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to fortify, heal, restore, renew, deliver, save. It's a good fight. Now, don't know how far I'm going to get along today, but we're going to go just for a little bit longer. I got to say this. Let me just say this. Back in our old church, 1,000 years ago, God used to come and he used to interrupt our services all the time. And I love it. And Holy Spirit would come in, worship would go on and on and on, and we realized pretty soon, okay, we're not going to get the message today. We're not going to get the speech. And that's awesome, and there's a season for that. There's a time for that where Holy Spirit comes in and just does that work where it's not from the speech. It's just from his precious work. Remember that back in Desert Stream? He would come in beauty and just, woof, just take us over. Now, and I've asked the Lord, I've said, Jesus, I live for the day where you come and you sweep over us and you so enamor us, you so catch us with the imagination of God. You so come in so powerfully that, Lord, we just bask in your presence. We got a taste of that today. Took 5 years, but we got a taste of that today. Thank you, Tammy, for being obedient. Thank you, worship team, for just allowing the Spirit of God to flow. Now, let me just say this. There's a season. Just because you don't have the message or the speech doesn't necessarily mean it's a more spiritual time. It's just a specific time that God is, a specific thing that God is doing. It's not more spiritual not to have the sermon. It's not more spiritual not to have the Word of God. And I was very, very open to just saying, Jesus, whatever you want to do today. If you want to sweep in with your Spirit. And I believe he gave us release. We had the beautiful presence of God. And now we're going to have his wonderful Word. The reason Paul used the imagery of war and fighting so often is because it was so good. It's the perfect metaphor. We understand it. We get it. We love sports. We love win. We get that concept. It's so understandable, the picture. Now, as we move in the next number of weeks, I just want to summarize a couple of things that I think Paul's trying to communicate whenever he uses sports or war or fighting metaphors. First thing is there's natural fighting, there's natural war, and then there's spiritual fighting and spiritual war. And as Christians, we embark on the spiritual fighting, but it's so different. We're going to learn that. It's so different than the world fights. And then in reference to fighting and war, there's a few more factors, and I'm going to just touch on four today very quickly, and then we're going to continue this next week. First thing we have to look at is, why are we fighting? Why are we fighting? I know oftentimes if you read the book of Acts, they said that there was riots and there was fighting and they were ripping and tearing the disciples and the apostles apart because there was riots, because these Christians were radically doing incredible things and the people didn't like it. At least the religious people didn't like it. Isn't that interesting that religious people didn't like God? The religious people didn't want to see God do amazing things. And it said that the fight and the war and the went on for hours, and someone piped up and said, what were we fighting for again? I can't remember. And so often that's like we have a fight in our marriage, or we fight in relationships, and we fortify and we want to fight and we want to fight, and eventually we go, what were we fighting about? See, in the natural, there's a cause. It can be a good cause or it can be a bad cause. But in the spirit, there has to be a cause. And for the Christian, our fighting is for the cause of Christ. It's for the souls of humanity. Listen to me right now. We fight with love. We fight with mercy. We fight with forgiveness, and we fight for people that they can taste this, like we've had today. We're fighting, we're contending, we're warring so people can have this wonderful presence of God. Can you imagine? Listen, listen. That moment, that definitive moment where you realize you're forgiven. That definitive moment where you realize you're free. That definitive moment when you realize that you're loved. Nothing to do with you, your effort, or your works. It's that definitive moment when you realize that there's hope and there's peace. And it's all because of God's goodness. Nothing to do with you. Because if it was something to do with us, we'd mess it up. It's all to do with God. Second one we're looking at is, who were we fighting? We talked about this. The natural. It's a perceived enemy. In the spiritual, the Bible makes it very clear, we're not fighting against people. See, Paul said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against attitudes or personalities. We're not fighting against people. I have to remind myself of that all the time. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against people. We're fighting against powers and principalities. We're fighting against the enemy. The enemy can use people, but you see, we're not fighting people. We're fighting the enemy. The ultimate enemy is the devil and demons. Why do we know that? It's what Paul said. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't even see them. We don't even see how people are being teased and tormented and agitated by the enemy. And then they do dumb things, or they do ornery things, or they do terrible things. Thirdly, how do we fight? With boxing gloves, silly. Nice, shiny red ones. Actually, I saw pink gloves yesterday. We fight not like the world. Now, listen to this. The world fights with rage. You ever see that, how angry people are all the time? Road rage. People are angry all the time. They're mad, they're ornery, they're angry. That's never happened to me, of course. Right, dear? The world fights with self-righteousness. I'm right, and if I'm right, then you have to be wrong. I remember about 10, 12 years ago, I was praying, and I was in this fuss mode, and I was in this complain mode, and I was kind of laying out my laments and my complaints to God, almost like David does. And as clear as you speaking to me, God stopped me dead. And he said with frustration, why do you have to be always right? Somebody say, ouch. Why do you have to be right? And of course, it's rhetorical. It doesn't need an answer. And I just bowed my head and I said, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Get that out of me. Get that out of me. That's not from you, Lord. Get it out of me. The world often fights fueled by unforgiveness, and human vengeance. I'll get them back for what they did to me. How can they do that? I'll get them. Well, what does the Bible and what does God's love say? Vengeance is mine, says God. You don't try to pick the fight. You just love people. I will take care of everything else. On the contrary, we must fight. Say, we must fight. Say, that's good. We must fight with mercy, with love, and with forgiveness. That's our weapon. And it's not fight as much as it is response. How do we respond to the anger? How do we respond to unforgiveness? How do we respond to people's lack of love? We respond or fight with forgiveness. Romans 12:20, again, Paul's words. He said, if you do that, you will reap burning coals on people's heads. Have you ever wondered what that meant? Well, what do you mean if you do that, you'll put burning coals on people's heads? So sometimes when we're thinking, oh, I hate that person. Jesus, put burning fire and flames on their head. No. That's not what we're talking about. The thing is, if you treat evil with good. One version actually says that they'll be filled with remorse. because they have treated you badly and you've treated them well after they've treated you badly. The Bible says that they will be filled with remorse and hopefully they'll want to change. How do we fight? We fight with love. How do we fight? We fight with love. And lastly today, and this is where we're going to go for at least one more week, maybe 30. Who are we fighting for? Again, in the natural, normal, people fight for themselves or they fight for others. Now, you ready for this? In the spiritual, we fight for ourselves or we fight for others. That was clever, wasn't it? Ourselves and others who are equally undeserving of his love. Did you get that? We fight for ourselves and we fight for others. And ourselves and others, we're both unequally deserving of his love. See, as soon as you feel you can deserve his love, the only thing that can come is pride. As soon as you feel you've done enough to earn his love, then comes arrogance, then comes haughtiness, then comes self-righteousness. But there's no one in this room that can earn or deserve his love. What's that song, that crazy radical song that we sing that it just kind of almost makes us want to shiver? Reckless Love from Corey Asbury. He said, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you gave yourself away. Even unearning and undeserving his love, he still shed his love to us. See, a good person might love someone that's deserving. But the Bible says we were undeserving. He said, when we were still sinners, when we were still doing terrible things, that's when he died for us. We love others as Christ loves them. Now, like I said, this is the whole message. Here it is in a nutshell. Who are we fighting for? Why are we fighting for them? We're fighting for others. We fight for someone who can't fight for themselves. We fight for those who can't fight for themselves. The poor, the weak, the marginalized. We fight for them. Now, listen to me. Listen very carefully. Oftentimes, that's pretty easy to fight for the marginalized, the weak, the poor, because they can't fight for themselves. Harder still is for those, we fight for those who won't fight for themselves. They won't fight for themselves yet. Those that are in sin and disobedience and rebellion right now, those ones that are annoying us right now, those ones that infuriate us right now, those are the ones that we fight for. Come on. It's easy to love those that are loving. It's hard to love those that are jerks. But it takes Christ's love. We deal in our relationships. The most intimate of relationships are marriage relationships, our significant other relationships. We love those sometimes when it's hard to love. They won't fight for themselves. They have no interest in fighting for themselves yet. Yet! Yet! Thank God! This is where I close today. Can I get the worship team back? I'm going to close right here. They're still doing their own thing. They're still living in rebellion. They're still living in arrogance. They're not ready yet. Why do we fight Oh, this is good. Oh, take this on. Take this, church. Take a hold of this right now. Why do we fight on others' behalf? Why do we do that? Why would we possibly want to do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because opposed to popular belief, we are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. And everyone hear this. Put this in your phone. When you were disobedient, someone fought for you. When you were disobedient, someone cared about you. Someone loved you. The Lord reminds me all the time, before I was a Christian, I was not a good person. I was full of addiction. I was full of sarcasm. It takes a long time to get that stuff out. Lust and pornography took me 25 years to get out of me. But he never stopped loving me. He never gave up on me. He never stopped with his mercy. I remember someone once told me, he said, he had a terrible rage problem and he used to smash things, and he smashed his door and he'd always have to go and repair them. And he, in weeping and in sorrow and in bitterness, he cried out to God and said, Lord, how long are you going to forgive me? He said, son, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Come on. Come on. And that's the same mercy. And that's the same love that we treat others with. As long as it takes. Shah. Can I ask a question today? Can a drowning man save himself? Say no. They're drowning. They might already have taken on so much water, they're maybe already unconscious. Can an unconscious man save himself? The answer is no. They need somebody. Could an unconscious person in a burning building save themselves? No. They need someone to go in there and rip them out. Take them out of the fire. Take them out of the fire. What a perfect illustration. What an incredible illustration of the mercy and love of God. That we were dying. We were unconscious. We were dead men dead. And Jesus went into that burning building and he took us out. Why? Because he loves us. Stand with me, church. He loves us. 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 Tiffany, you kept singing that song. He loves us. Oh, he loves us. He loves everybody in this room. He loves everybody in this room. Some are still not doing well. Some are still struggling. But you know what? He loves you. And when you get the revelation of his love, when you get the revelation of his healing, oh my goodness, does that change everything. Did you see that? Did you hear that? When you get the revelation of his love for you, unearned, undeserved, then it changes everything. The addictions and the pain and the anger and the disappointment and the jealousy and the comparing and the gossip just starts falling off. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. We've been... Jesus, just in his love, not a single person in this room deserved it, but just in his love, he just sort of breezed up against us today. Right? He just sort of gave us a kiss. He just breezed up against us with his mercy. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? I messed up all week. I don't care. Jesus doesn't care. Will you receive his mercy today? Somebody say amen. Will you receive his mercy today? Will you receive his healing? I had a big fight with my spouse this week. You know what? Just receive, just receive, just receive, just receive. Spirit of God is right here. Just receive. Just receive. There's some still struggling. They still are struggling with self-hate. They're still struggling. Some in this room are still struggling with self-loathing. They just can't feel, I've done too many bad things. I can't be forgiven. Listen to me right now. If that's true, then Jesus dying on the cross failed. But I got good news for you. It didn't fail. It didn't fail. It worked. He won. Every sin can be forgiven. Somebody say every sin. Somebody say every sin. Every sin can be forgiven. I'm sorry that I get so animated. Actually, I'm not sorry in the least. Mercy. Mercy. Jesus, have your way today. This is part one. There's more to come. I'm not going to wear the costume again. Maybe I will. Who knows? Gotta love that Rocky theme. Just receive his mercy today. Sinner and saint alike, receive his mercy today. If you're on the winning side, if you're on the victory side, then love those that aren't. If you're on the winning side, then love somebody that isn't yet. And the only reason you're on the winning side right now is because someone loved you when they were on the winning side and you weren't. So if you're on the winning side now, for heaven's sake, don't be proud and arrogant. Give his love away. Give his love away. Give his love away. It's our calling is to give his love away. That's why we're here in Sylvan Lake, to give his love away, to give his love away. Can we just take 2 minutes and say thank you, Jesus, and worship him full on? I mean full on. Yeah. If there's anybody here that needs that sense of his love, and you want to come and for prayer, then come on up here. Or you can just bask in it. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I've done too many bad things. I can't be forgiven. I keep messing up all the time. I can't be forgiven. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. You're saying that your sin is bigger than Jesus. You're saying your sin is bigger than Jesus. I got good news. It isn't. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is bigger. Receive his forgiveness today. You can leave this place free, 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 free. And when you mess up this week, you just keep on saying, Jesus, keep washing me kinetically. Keep freeing me. Keep healing me. Your blood is enough. Your blood is enough. Your blood is enough. We win. We win. We win. Jesus won. We win. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Worthy of every song.